States across the country have developed and adopted state health improvement plans. The acronym is an easy one because it spells SHIP. California's SHIP is called Let's Get Healthy California. We'll focus on Oregon's in this segment. Oregon's state health improvement plan is called Healthier Together, and it takes a broad view of factors that influence and affect health. The first annual report on Healthier Together Oregon came out in June of this year, and so we have a chance to compare goals with measurements of success, bearing in mind that the first annual report covers a period during the COVID-19 pandemic. Two guests join us to give statewide and more regional perspectives. Kara Biddlecom is Oregon Health Authority's Deputy Public Health Director. Welcome, Kara.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
You bet. Connie Dillinger is here as well from All Care Community Health, the All Care Community Advisory Council, which is a Southern Oregon member of the partnership, and you can bet that SHIP is capitalized. Hi, Connie.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks to you both for joining us here. Kara, give us the outline of why there is a SHIP in the first place and the kinds of things it covers.
Absolutely. So as you mentioned, Oregon is one of many states that has a statewide health improvement plan, and really this is a way to both identify, articulate, and create a collective action towards a number of health priorities for Oregonians. So our 2020 to 2024 statewide health improvement plan, Healthier Together Oregon, actually came from a collaborative process that started in 2018 when we released our every 5 years state health assessment. So from there, we were able to work with over 100 individuals, 68 organizations, to look through our statewide health data and identify priorities that really come up for communities and create this plan that develops actions that can be taken at the statewide level, at the local level, regional level, and across a number of different partners to improve the conditions that affect our health. So things like housing, employment, access to education, as well as the underlying factors that create access to those being different for different groups.
Okay, so housing, employment, and education don't sound like immediate factors for health and for most people. So this is way beyond exercise and eating your vegetables.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, our previous approaches to health have been narrower in looking at how we eat, ways that we're able to be active, but in the absence of looking at the communities that people live in, we really miss some of the important context. So our Healthier Together Oregon plan helps to bring different types of partners together to really create, facilitate communities that support health. So, for example, having accessible walkways, pathways, being able to bike and ride, ride to work, being able to access health care, and being able to look at neighborhoods and communities that have been not received the same amount of investment for a number of different reasons, because all of those conditions relate to a health outcome.
Right. A lot of different factors then that influence health, obviously. Connie Dillinger from All Care Community Advisory Council, talk about the partnership and SHIP, of course, as in State Health Improvement Plan, and how the regional entities cooperate and contribute to the plan.
What we're doing is, well, we have a group of probably about 20 people from the communities of all of Oregon, and what we do is provide perspectives from our point of view and from not only from priority populations but from the rural populations as well, and how to implement community health improvement plans. We provide direction and decision-making about the plan. And so far, we've been in touch with other organizations to try to get, I'm just speaking of my rural community.
Sure.
And I live in a very rural community. And what we're trying to do is get more community-based organizations that would partnership with the partnership.
Is there some Southern Oregon variation to the main themes, maybe more focus on smoke from wildfires or something?
Yes, that. And we have a lot of food deserts.
Mm-hmm.
We also have transportation issues here, and that's why we're really trying to get community-based organizations to get on board with Healthier Together Oregon and see the significance of decreasing these issues so we can have healthier outcomes.
Well, and that's where things get into a realm that I think might surprise a few people. You know, we're not just talking about things like, you know, what you do for your own physical health, but your access to things. If there's no bus line to get you into town and you don't have a car, you know, you're in a different situation for getting to health appointments and things like that.
That's right. And that is why in mostly rural areas and with the elderly, they don't get out. because they have, for whatever reason, some are fear of going to the doctor, some are just fear of being out. They like to get out early and get home. So a lot of times they don't go because they're afraid to ride the bus. They're afraid to drive their car. There's a lot of fear in a lot of rural areas, and they don't feel comfortable just always going to the local market where it's like 1.5 times more than it is like in another metropolitan area.
Mm, 1.5 times more, you mean, in prices?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, expensive. They may be convenient, but they're not cheap.
Correct.
Yeah. Connie Dillinger and Kara Biddlecom, our guests on the Jefferson Exchange, as we explore Healthier Together Oregon, the state health improvement plan, and the annual report out in June of this year indicating how well we're doing on the goals of the plan. You're welcome to join the conversation on the exchange by phone at 800-838-3760, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Kara, was the plan even fully fleshed out before the COVID pandemic hit?
That's a great question. We were for sure in process of developing the plan. We had actually assembled 5 different working groups that worked on the 5 different priority areas that came out of our state health assessment, and those were institutional bias, adversity, trauma, and toxic stress, access to clinical preventive care, behavioral health, and then those economic drivers of health, so including things like housing and transportation, education, et cetera. And so the subcommittees of our partnership that were tasked with developing our plan strategies and really working across different organizations and communities had come together. The plan was about half written, I would say, but we did continue to move the plan forward. We obviously had to take some time, additional time, as folks were pulled into responding to the pandemic from a public health and healthcare perspective. But we knew that COVID-19 would lay bare a number of health inequities that have been persistent in our state, and we knew that the Healthier Together Oregon plan was going to be necessary to help us bridge from the pandemic response the other types of health issues that we knew would come as a result, so we would have something for Oregonians to be able to rely on into the future.
So to some of the points you've just mentioned, I mean, the annual report is blunt. It says behind every data point are policies created and perpetuated by systemic and institutional racism. Race and ethnicity data may appear to reflect individual choices or characteristics, while in fact the data is heavily influenced by structural issues that have disproportionately affected racial and ethnic groups for hundreds of years. And I wonder what the reception has been like so far. I can imagine there's still a challenge to get some people on board with that concept, and perhaps even more so in an election year.
You want me to answer that?
Yes, please, Connie.
Yes, it is challenging. It's a busy, busy job trying to get people of color and the elderly to be part of the partnership and Healthier Together Oregon. I don't know if it's fear. I don't know if they feel like they can't contribute or they don't have knowledge. I can't explain that. But I work very hard in my community to try to engage people on taking care of their health and by getting involved with the state and the partnership.
That must be an interesting conversation, just in the sense of, like, you're trying to convince people, look, if you take care of you, it improves all of us.
Right. And I do share with them, everybody has a voice, and all voices are important in this endeavor of the partnership.
So are pathways indicated, Connie, for how to move ahead, how to take care of some of the issues of equity and justice that do lead to unequal access to and results from healthier lifestyles and health care?
Right. Well, the best way is to have a conversation, have an open conversation and a dialogue. And don't be afraid, because there's A, no stupid question, and B, every opinion matters.
I only laugh at that because I say that all the time. There are no stupid questions, usually because of the questions I ask, but there we go.
You too, huh?
Yeah, exactly. We share that one. So Kara, how does Healthier Together Oregon propose moving ahead, and in the annual report lay out some guidelines for where to go from here?
Yeah, thanks for that question. And I would just also say that we're in part uplifting the Oregon Health Authority's goal to eliminate health inequities by 2030. And so you see some of that reflected in the way that we talk about the importance of this work and the number of ways that we need to be working to address the social conditions that impact health. So a lot of that's going to happen in the statewide level through through state policy and through budgets. And so a number of our state agency partners have really exciting work underway by way of investing in communities, by way of increasing workforce development efforts for communities of color, and we're really excited to be able to be partners on that. But we're also looking at things, for example, with Business Oregon, in terms of increasing broadband access, and we know how important that is for economic stability, as well as even during the pandemic, access to healthcare and education. And so a number of different partnerships that we're excited about. But we're very fortunate to be able to work with Connie in the partnership because they're really helping to guide us on where the priorities are. I think the last thing I would say about where we're planning to go is really look at that community level, as I shared earlier, how to create communities by having all different types of sectors work together whereby people can access what they need to be healthy, and that that health is able to be achieved for every single person within the community regardless of their individual circumstances.
So I wonder where some of the convincing has to go on. Is it state legislators? Is it department heads to bring up things like, hey, you know, broadband access helps health, transportation options helps health?
Absolutely, and I would just say that from my perspective, we've had a lot of interest and engagement across state government in particular to be able to look at the strategies that Community Uplifted and Healthier Together Oregon and be able to address them together. So we'll likely have lots of exciting things come up in the next legislative session that will, I'm sure, move forward some of our priorities in Healthier Together Oregon.
Connie Dillinger, I want to ask about one particular thing that AllCare appears to be working on, raising resilience, aumentando la resiliencia.
Okay. I don't know the Spanish.
Okay. And I could barely pronounce it myself.
I know.
Sorry.
Oh, we're working on getting the word out, making more health options available within Southern Oregon, because that's where health care is really needed. Mm-hmm. I was speaking with somebody the other day, and they started to interview more doctors that are not in this state but want to come to this state. So we're working on that with AllCare.
How long a process does that appear to be? Because, you know, having looked for a primary care physician myself in recent months, I can attest to the fact that you hear a lot of people say, nope, not taking new patients.
Right, right. It's a hard job for whomever are doing it. But they're working real hard. I happen to know that one person was interviewing a person from out of state just this week. She couldn't come to a meeting because she was interviewing a prospective physician. So it's a slow go, but it is moving. I know we know the tortoise and the hare, but we've got to hang in there. If we want to have this right, we're going to have to hang in there and do what we can and get more organizations on board and get the word out to different states and different universities and just go and talk and recruit.
What would you say is the biggest, I mean, aside from the need for more healthcare professionals, I mean, is it money? Is it people? Is it knowledge? I mean, what's the top of the list for the things you want more of in the region you're talking about, Connie?
I would like more resources and more knowledge, because once they get empowered with that knowledge, they can move forward and take care of their health the way they have always envisioned it. A lot of people don't know that we have OHA. They don't understand what OHA does, and we also have elderly who don't have computers, so it's a lot of hand-holding and a lot of working with other community-based organizations to get the word out. The churches are helping a lot, too, here.
Did the pandemic help? Did it hurt in the sense of getting people connected to the knowledge of public health infrastructure?
For this area, it was very devastating because where we live, once the fire broke out, they had nowhere to go. A lot of people were sleeping in their cars, were sleeping in the parks, were sleeping in wherever they could find a place to be, quote unquote, safe. There's just not enough resources. We don't have. We only had one doctor, and that doctor has retired. So now we're scrambling. We have a Siskiyou health clinic, but a lot of people they're getting overwhelmed too. So it's just a domino effect. This one leaves, and this one doubles and triples.
Mm-hmm. I do want to touch on behavioral health before we have to go in a couple of minutes here. Kara Biddlecom, talk about how that is envisioned by Healthier Together Oregon and what was reflected in the annual report.
Absolutely. So the behavioral health work, from the perspective of the partnership, really helps to augment and uplift a lot of the work that's already been underway by way of increasing access, investments, culturally specific behavioral health services, and augmenting access to treatment. The pieces that Healthier Together Oregon can do is really uplift the importance of behavioral health as a part of overall community health and well-being, and also help to look at how it connects to access to care, how it connects to some of the other important foundations of health. So, you know, when we think about stable housing and access to other types of resources, Healthier Together Oregon can help bridge to some of those other health areas in addition to behavioral health and wrap around it.
Yeah, I noticed the prioritized strategies for 2022 start with increased affordable housing co-located with active transportation options, then on to affordable, healthy, and culturally appropriate foods for communities of color and low-income communities. So a lot of things that people might not think immediately affect health, but obviously when you live with conditions every day where you're kind of kept away from things that are good for you, it can have an impact.
Right.
Go ahead, Connie. Take the last 30 seconds here.
I was going to say, right. And then different cultures have different behaviors, so that's why I'm happy to hear that we are working on having more culturally sensitive behavioralists.
All kinds of stuff to think about involved in what are the contributing factors to health in a real broad sense, and that is brought together under the State Health Improvement Plan for Oregon called Healthier Together Oregon. You can find the details online at healthiertogetheroregon.org. And there is also the annual report we're talking about, which covers September 2020 to December 2021. And as we know, with the lag in health information, some of this stuff is a bit out of date already. So we'll talk about this again in the future. Kara Biddlecom is the Deputy Public Health Director at the Oregon Health Authority. Thank you, Kara.
Thank you.
Connie Dillinger is with All Care Communities Advisory Council for Southern Oregon. Thank you, Connie.
You are so welcome. Have a great day. You